So come, Holy Spirit, and move amongst your church. Come and speak to each of us and make your word and your ways known. Lord, give me the words that you want said. Give us the thoughts that you want us to think and transform our hearts for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning we're continuing our study. I have a wee bit of feedback, Jonathan. Okay, thank you. This morning we're continuing our study in the book of 1 Peter. And there's only today and next week left of this particular study. And we've been looking together at what it means to be called. What is the call which God places on our lives? What's he saying to each of us? What's he saying to us as a church? And we've been thinking about what it means to persevere. We've been thinking about what it means to be godly living. We've been thinking about what it means to have a godly relationship with each other. We've been thinking about what it means to be godly employers and employees. We've been thinking about what it means to be godly and holy. All in the context of the call which God places on our lives. Chapter 4 of 1 Peter is a turning point in the whole of the epistle. And you could, as Pearl was reading it, you may have picked up that there's actually a point in it that is a natural stop for the book. But Peter continues in his letter after that. Up until now, the first three chapters is the challenge for us as a church community. For the challenge is me as an individual and how I respond to people around me. What do those looking at me and the way I live really think? And how does my life radiate Christ and bring others to him? And some of us may have found that teaching so far a little tough. Some may have found it just over their head and thought, I really don't know what he's talking about this morning. Others may have thought, oh, that's hard-hitting. Do you know what? If you were to rate it as in films, we've had the U up until now, and we're now about to hit 18. Chapter 4 no longer deals with the community and our response to each other. It deals with me and my response to myself. So if you have a Bible near you, I encourage you to open it and follow it through with me. If you have one on your phone, feel free to get your phone out. Don't be texting anybody, but feel free to look at the chapter with me. And let's look at different verses through this. What is Peter saying to you and I about me, about you, an individual? And we need to approach it with the question, what about me? Before church, there was a couple of us chatting, and they didn't know I was going to mention this, but it actually confirmed something for me. But I wonder, Pearl will know what I'm talking about, and Margaret and Mum and whoever else happened to be listening at that stage. Do you ever talk to yourself? All the time. They say it's a sign of madness. I actually think it's intelligence. Do you ever talk to yourself? I do it all the time. I'm living in that big house on my own. I talk to myself all the time. I walk around the house and I'll say, now what did I go into this room for? You know what? That's not a problem. The problem is whenever I walk into a room and I go, what did I come into this room for? Oh, Mark, that's what you come in for. And you start to answer yourself. Do you know what? I think this morning we need to talk to ourselves. Because Peter's encouraging us to do it. And he hits us hard. There's no doubt in it. And let me encourage you, when you go home this afternoon, even before you eat your dinner, read chapter 4 again. If you're sitting down with a family, get your Bible out. Blow the dust off it if there's dust on it. I hope there's not, mind you. But I'm not saying there's dust in your houses. I'm meaning I hope you use your Bible. But anyway, no matter what state your Bible's in,
get it out. Before you eat, read chapter 4 again. Read it as a family, round the dinner table. What's God saying to us? What has God left on Peter's heart for you and for I? He says, verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body. Now, we know that Christ suffered in his body. We know that he suffered physically. This church, as I was praying earlier, is the visible sign of how Christ suffered. It's built in the shape of a cross. If you go to the Church of Ireland that's in Carrickfergus, St. Nicholas's, I think it is. If you go to the Church of Ireland that's in the middle of Carrickfergus, Archdeacon George Davison is the rector there. You'll see that that church is built in a shape of a cross. But when you're standing at the back looking to the front, it's not straight like ours is. It's actually slightly built, the chancel to the left, just slightly, to represent Christ's body with his head hung. Because it says he bowed his head and gave up his ghost. The church reminds us, the building itself reminds us that Jesus suffered. And yet all too often we take what he went through for granted. I do it. I was sharing at the Bible study on Wednesday night that how that I'm trying to learn a little bit of Spanish so that I can stand up at the front of the church this day 3 weeks and do an opening prayer in Spanish. That's my ambition. My ambition was to preach the sermon. It's not going to happen unless the Lord gives me the gift of tongues in Spanish between now and then. You could pray for that for me, folks. But I want to be able to stand up and thank the Lord for having us there. And thank the Lord for his church. But in that, I also want to be able to say, and in Spanish it is, lo siento para mi pecado. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. And I think all too often, we take our sin lightly. And the forgiveness that God offers us for granted. And we think not of what he did. And Peter starts the chapter by saying, since Christ suffered, he suffered for you and for I. You and for me. And then he says, arm yourselves with the same attitude. It used to be said when we were at school, the Christian life was the easy way out. I remember friends in school who were Christians. And I've told you before, some of you have heard my testimony, that I went to the Christian Union, the Scripture Union, just to get the pass that got you to the head of the dinner queue, that you didn't have to stand for an hour and wait in your dinner in Markerfeld High School. And as a result of getting your dinner early, well, you had to go to the library for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and listen to some old guy talk to us. And do you know what, actually, on a day where it was raining, or on a day where it was frosty or cold outside, it was actually quite welcoming to get into that library. And on a day that was really blistering hot, it was actually really nice to get into that library. Not that we had too many of them, but it was the only room in the whole school that had air conditioning, because it was the only room in the whole school in those days that had computers. So it was a price to pay. But we used to hear people saying, those that go to the Christian Union, they're only there because they want an easy life. I can testify to it, folks. Christian life's not an easy life. For we suffer. We do suffer. And Peter reminds us of it. We need to keep moving on. He then goes on to say, verse 3, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do. Then he lists things. And this is where it jumps from being a U to a PG to a 12 to a 15, even to an 18. Because there are words in here that we'll all know what they mean. You don't need somebody to stand at the front of the church and start to explain them. And for those children in church this morning, if you don't know what they are, ask your parents when you go home, for I'm not telling you. He says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do. Before we become Christians, we lived of the world. We did the things that the world encourages us to do. But when we allow Christ into our lives and he transforms us unconditionally, then we need to stop doing what the world tells us to do. And Peter lists only some of them. He doesn't list them all, but he lists some of them. He says, no longer live in debauchery. No longer live in lust. No longer live in drunkenness. No longer live in orgies. No longer live in carousing. No longer live in detestable idolatry. Are there any of us in church this morning that could put our hands up and say, I haven't done any of those things this week? Lo siento, Señor, para mi pecado. Lord, I am sorry for my sin. I'm sorry. And Lord, forgive me for it. Please forgive me. That's what it boils down to, folks. Being sorry and seeking the Lord. Peter goes on to say, verse 6, for this is the reason the gospel was preached. This is why we have church. This is why we have clergy and missionaries and preachers. Why we have Sunday school teachers and holiday Bible clubs. To tell people, to share the good news, the gospel. Gospel meaning good news. To share what Jesus has done for me and for you with the world. So that the world may understand what Jesus has done. But we have to live it. The passage which Liz read for us from Matthew chapter 10. I've been studying all week 1 Peter chapter 4. And I hadn't really looked at the gospel reading for this morning other than just that was it. But I couldn't believe it when Liz read these words. It hit me like a ton of bricks. It's verse 25 when Jesus says, if the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of the household? In other words, who's the head of your house? Beelzebub is another name for the evil one. So if all these sins are in our life, if we willingly know and allow them in our lives, then Jesus isn't the head of our house. And yet I'm reminded of the words of Joshua and how that Joshua said, as for me and my, what? House. Our lives are like a house. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Verse 7, Peter writes, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love transforms all things. It was out of love that Jesus was born. It was out of love that Jesus died. It was out of love that Jesus rose again from the dead. It is out of love for us that Jesus will one day return to take us to be with him in heaven so that we can escape all sin. Out of love. 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. We need to be people of love. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. Hate the wrong things in this world, but love the people in the world. Sacrificially. And we will suffer, but it has to begin in me. The Noah Gospel hymn that says, Lord, send revival. Lord, send revival. Lord, send revival, but let it begin in me. Let it begin in me. Verse 12, Peter writes, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you were in a room with a group of clergy, it's nearly as if there's a competition goes on in clergy meetings. And, you know, one will start and say, in my church we do this. And then somebody else will say, in my church we do this. And then somebody else, in my church we do this. Aye, but you don't have Mrs. So-and-so. You think she's bad? I have a whole family of Mrs. So-and-sos. And you think that's bad? I have 100 Mrs. So-and-sos after me, and there's only one in the church ever offers me a pullament. You know, you want to hear us when we get together, honestly. And I sit there listening to it thinking, I am a blessed man. Because I love this church family. And I feel loved. And yet I sit and feel guilty. I nearly think I should mix stuff up just to make you all sound bad. But I can't do it because you're all wonderful. Every one of you. Every one of you. But you know, we so often say, when we're going through trials, if the devil has gone out of his way to try and put me off, then I must be doing something right for the Lord. And you all know Bishop Fanta, and you know the high regard that I hold that man in. He's my mentor. He's my spiritual father. He's the person that I'm on the phone to 2 and 3 times a week wanting advice or help or someone just to talk to. And you know, even just his laugh, it's worse than the lion from last week. It's an infectious laugh. And when you talk to him and you hear him laugh, even I've been sitting in floods of tears over things. The moment he laughs, it just cheers me up. Okay? The man's on a pedestal in my life. And if he was here, he'd be saying, don't do that, Mark. Don't do that. But even Bishop Fanta, when he phones me up, he will say, well, Mark, are you still annoying the devil in Strabane? If we're annoying him so much that he's actually putting us through trials, keep going. And shout hallelujah. Shout praise the Lord. And keep going. Because God loves us. And he'll carry us every step of the way. The rest of the passage is the continuation of that suffering theme and how to respond. But we need to, basically, to sum it all up, rest solely in Jesus. Safe in the arms of Jesus, we sing it in the hymn. Safe in the shadow of the Lord, sing it in the hymn. Psalm 91 says, I shall rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He'll hide me under his wings. Psalm 121, lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And what's the answer? Help comes from where? From the hills? No, help comes from the Lord. Rest in Jesus and in him alone. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and lead you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. So folks, start talking to yourselves. What's wrong in my life that I need to put right? What do I need to say sorry for? And not just pay lip service, but actually mean it. And let every one of us humble ourselves on our knees before the Lord, if we can get on our knees, and cry out to him for mercy. For the mercy of God is so great, not one person can truly understand it. But every single one of us can receive it. Let's bow our heads together. If the Lord has been speaking to you this morning through what I've been saying, or even just through the reading of that word, then just cry to him. Cry to him quietly in your seat where you're sitting right now. Just cry to him, Lord, I'm so sorry. Just cry, Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done that I shouldn't have done. Lord, I'm sorry that as I'm hurting me with those things, I'm hurting your body. And Lord, help me be what you want me to be. Folks, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there is sin in your life and you're not crying out unto the Lord, then what's it saying about the Lord's love to you? We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me, and I thank you for how you suffered. You suffered a death that you didn't deserve. You did it for me. You did it for us. You did it for your church. Lord, I'm sorry when I take that for granted, and I'm sorry when I don't live the way you want me to live. I'm sorry when I think things I shouldn't think. I'm sorry when I say things I shouldn't say. I'm sorry, Lord, that I just don't be the person you want me to be. Lord, move amongst us and make us a people shaped by you. Make us a godly people called by you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you always hear me. Even when I don't deserve it, you always hear us. In your name we pray. Amen.